Dreamy and meaningful life is the right for each of us. All of us have the power to not only experience lots of desired moments, but also create more effective time in our life. To create your dreamy life, you must light the dark path ahead with the light of time wisdom to step into your dreamy world. Here, I am to dedicate sharing time wisdom from the genius writers, the best mindset leaders and coaches, and also highly effective people around the world. My name is Iman Abrishamchi, the founder of Time Coach and the host of Brain Time Podcast. We do believe the real time management is about pain, mindset, energy and perspective management. And all people around the world are enabled to have the best time only if they learn how to do it. In Brain Time Podcast series, we reveal effective strategies and hidden tricks to help people to learn time wisdom and create effective time. You can also download Time Coach application in iOS and Android platform by just searching your Time Coach. Thanks for listening to this podcast. To just pick one of them in middle, how do you do that?
There's shelves.
okay, it's shelf. Okay,
every little bit and you can just pull them out.
Okay, fantastic. It's really genius. I was just thinking of it's a pile of books that you have put them on. Oh my god, oh good, brilliant book. Yeah. How are you, dear Patrick?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing good, doing great. Thank you, first of all, for accepting being here in Time Coach Island. We have got an island. It's the worldwide island that we are coming with the concept of time management in new ways, not the traditional ways. And I have had many thoughts about your books, Fear of Missing Out, your genius and brilliant book, and its relationship to time management area, just the new area of time management, not the traditional way that to have the to-do list and something like this. So I have prepared thousands of questions, but I'm sure I won't use them at all, and I will go ahead with the talking. First of all, I appreciate if you could introduce a little bit more about yourself and about the big ideas of your book.
Sure. So my name is Patrick McGinnis. I'm the author of Fear of Missing Out, Practical Decision Making in a World of Overwhelming Choice. Also the author of a book called The 10% Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And the host of a podcast called FOMO Sapiens. And when I'm not doing all of that, I am a venture capitalist and I live in New York City.
Fantastic.
My work really focuses on, if I think about across all of my work, it's about how people can make better decisions to achieve the things they want to do in a way that's different than what we're taught when we're school. And so it's really whether you want to be an entrepreneur or you want to be decisive or you want to be a business leader or you want to set some goal and achieve it. It's about how you can actually choose the things you actually want to do and then miss out on everything else.
Fantastic. So, first of all, my first and big question, what is the big idea of your book? I'm sure it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit hard to answer, but I want to know, what is the big idea of Fear of Missing Out?
Yeah, the big idea is that many of us spend, I would say all of us at this point, spend an incredible amount of time and energy doing things and worrying about things that we don't even want to actually do. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of the book is, how can you live decisively in a time where we're overwhelmed with opportunities and choices?
Aha, fantastic. So in Time Coach, we have a sort of flag, you know, in Time Coach, we talk about time management, is energy management, is pain management, is opportunity management, is relationship management. It's almost nothing about time management. It's everything management instead of time management. Mm-hmm. First of all, about the opportunity management, how do you link opportunity management in life and FOMO?
So when we have FOMO, we are trying to do everything, right? So we are basically looking out at the world and seeing all of these things that are happening, these opportunities. And we oftentimes, when we have FOMO, what's happening is that we are idealizing these things. So FOMO is defined as a perception there's something better out there happening than what you're doing at the moment. It's all about perception. And so opportunity management, I think a big part of being successful at managing opportunity is to think, is this thing or opportunity, is it is it living up to what it's promised to be? Uh-huh. Or am I simply in my own head creating this idealization of that thing? And we do that all the time. You know, you see something and either, you know, there's actually manipulation that happens where you see a picture of something and it's manipulated to look better. Mm-hmm. Or we see things and we project our own wants and needs and desires onto those things. We manipulate them ourselves. But either way, the more that we do that or other people do that, the more disconnected we are from reality. And that's where the problems begin with FOMO.
Okay. I'm sure you have been asked these questions a lot. What is your FOMO?
You know what? Nobody ever asked me that, actually.
Really?
Man. Yeah. So I actually had this moment the other day that reminded me what my FOMO is. And it's because I like to think I've gotten much better at dealing with these issues, right? Of course, I wrote a book about it, so I should be quite, you know, effective. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, I live in New York City, and we were all, as many people around the world are, we've been in quarantine and forever. Yeah. And now things have kind of changed and we're able to have more social interactions. And so I had the other night, for the first time in many, many, many months, I had like three different things going on in one night. Oh, and I had to do them all. I wanted to go to all of them, and I did. And I just felt like I knew that it was the total FOMO situation.
Oh my God. Okay. It was the first time asking you this question, yes?
I mean, very rarely do people ask me about my FOMO.
Oh my God. Good. If I want to go through the other question, especially about decision making, I have asked this question from Robin Sharma before, the author of 5AM Club and thousands of great, great ideas. We are living in decision fatigue era. We are, you know, almost all of us are facing the decision fatigue. From since morning, we are waking up, we are making decisions that sometimes most of them are meaningless. And we don't have enough energy to make decisions for big ideas, big opportunities, and something like this. How your Fear of Missing Out book, how your genius book can help us to pass through this hard time of decision fatigue?
So one of the big ideas in the book, it's funny that it's something I've been doing for a long time. And I never really thought of it as something that would be that helpful to other people. But then the more I talked about it, everybody loves this idea. And so I put it in the book, and I also did a TED video about it. And it's this idea of what I call sort of ask the watch. And what is ask the watch, right? So my concept here is that in life, we really only make three types of decisions. Yeah. High stakes decisions, low stakes decisions, and no stakes decisions. What is a high stakes decision? Well, it's something that really matters. It's something that affects our lives over the medium to long term. Low stakes is something we probably won't remember in a month. Like, you know, picking the couch in your house or picking, you know, the printer that you buy. You need to think about it, of course, it's important, but it's not something that requires months of deliberation. Mm-hmm. And then the no stakes decision are things that you literally will not remember deciding in a day or two. So, you know, could you tell me what you had for lunch on Friday? I bet you'd have to think about it quite carefully. And, you know, was it a big deal at the time? Maybe, I don't know. But we oftentimes spend a lot of time on these very insignificant decisions. I mean, I personally can spend 20 to 30 minutes just trying to decide what to watch on television with Netflix now because all the choices. And so what I do in these no stakes decisions is I simply outsource them. So one of the things I like to do, I'll grab my phone over here. Say I'm deciding, well, am I going to have, chicken or am I going to have vegetarian? Mm-hmm. You know, this happened to me yesterday at lunch. It's like, I don't know. Chicken or I don't know. They both look so good. What should I do? Oh my God. And I just decided, well, chicken is even and vegetarian is odd. I look at the time on my watch. It's an even time. I'm having chicken. Done. We are done with the decision because it doesn't matter. If it mattered, fine. But the reality is then we would spend more time on it. But this does not matter. And in fact, we make many decisions every day that don't matter. We live our lives. We have to live that way. We make thousands of decisions a day. But when we get stuck on these stupid things that do not matter, we must unstick ourselves. And that's why I do this.
One thing that I would like to go through FOMO also, FOMO. Maybe some people don't know anything about FOMO and FOBO and they are first time watching this in a podcast or video. Could you please explain a little bit more about FOMO and FOBO and the differences and the effects of both of these concepts in our lives, in our daily routines, daily life?
Yes. Fear of missing out is about an anxiety that's created by the feeling that there's something better happening than what you're doing. So you see somebody doing something or you see social media oftentimes provokes FOMO and you feel like, oh my goodness, I wish I could be doing that. My life stinks because I'm not doing that thing. And so that's FOMO. It's this desire to try to do and be everything.
Yeah.
FOBO, fear of a better option, is a fear that if I choose something better might be out there for me. And therefore, when I make a choice, I am like, I'm living suboptimally. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to like, I'm going to go on, pick an Airbnb. And I start searching for the Airbnb. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, I should keep searching because there might be a better deal or a better place or this or that or the other. And I go back and back and back until the point where somebody else rents it and I lose out. And so it's about optimization and being unwilling to take a decision because we want something better or we think there could be something better, even though we have no idea if something better exists. So that's a paralysis. So while FOMO, you're trying to do everything. With FOBO, you're stuck doing nothing because you don't want to do the wrong thing. And when we think about the implications, FOMO is really about not having focus, right? It's like, I am all over the place. Mm. FOBO is about being indecisive. And you cannot be a leader. You cannot build things when you're indecisive. Like nobody is going to look at a great entrepreneur and be like, what a great entrepreneur Elon Musk is. He's so indecisive. Of course not. You know, what a great leader Angela Merkel is. She's so indecisive. No, you must be decisive. And so that's the implication is that if you want to be a leader, you must overcome your FOBO. And if you want to use your time wisely and achieve things with focus, you must overcome your FOMO.
Okay. I will go through two words. One, thousands of options that we have right now in today's life. And two, life balance. You know, these two words are a little bit, you know, especially in this day and age, people have thousands of millions of options. You know, if you want to go out, something like 20 years ago, when I was a kid, we didn't have this amount of option, but we felt, I can say, you know, much more happy compared to today's life. How do you, you know, link these two words together? You know, we have millions of option and our life balance is something like up in the air. And how can we, you know, limit our options? We should limit our options, or what should we do to get the life balance back?
Yes, you're absolutely right. In fact, what happens is when we have too many choices, it just means that we have more opportunities to feel regret.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So It's like, if I'm choosing one out of a million things, there's potential 999,999 things that I should have chosen instead, and I feel bad about all of them. That's what's happening, right? And that's proven by the clinical psychology and the research. And so that's well established. And so what it comes down to is, first of all, recognizing that overwhelming choice and additional choice, increasing choice, doesn't necessarily make us happy. In fact, it usually makes us unhappy. And number two, thinking about how we can limit that choice. So for example, one thing that you can do, and I do this, is in the morning, I have a very fixed routine. Like, I'm a very unpredictable guy. I live a very unpredictable life, but my morning routine has been the same for as long as I can remember. It literally is like, I don't make any decisions in the morning. I just do. Also, I outsource tons of decisions. So for example, rather than, visiting a new town yesterday that I hadn't been to, tons of restaurants to choose from. I simply texted somebody I knew who knew that town. And I said, choose me a place to go to lunch. Pick me one place, I will go there. And so I do that all of the time. I find ways to cut down the opportunity set. And by doing that, in the beginning, you it's a little difficult. Well, I don't know. I mean, what if that restaurant isn't good? And oh my goodness, let me look it up on the internet and let me see the picture, you know, all that stuff. What I've learned over time is that's a waste. And frankly, if you ask nice people who you respect for recommendations, you can take them. And so it's very liberating. And so as you start to realize that reducing choice is a liberating factor, you also realize that when you reduce choice, you have more time to focus on the things that truly matter in life. And so that is another really wonderful benefit of being decisive when it comes to these things, these smaller things.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I would like to go through distraction. We are living in the jungle of distraction. I suppose you have got the Indistractable up.
I do. Where is it? It's somewhere. Oh, it's up there.
Okay, I cannot see it, but I can see a yellow book. Okay, it's okay. No. Oh my God. Yes, by Nirial.
This is the advanced copy too. This is like a collector's item.
Oh my God, fantastic. Yes, Nirial is a genius guy. I have had a live Instagram with him and about something like 6 months ago. And
he's a good friend of mine, actually.
Yes. So we are living in the jungle of distraction. This is my idea. We are not living in just distraction area. It's the jungle of distraction. You know, whenever you wake up, you are faced with millions of distraction. You are going to sleep, you are facing millions of distraction. How FOMO and FOBO can help the distraction and limiting and ignoring and whatever it is about distraction area?
Yeah, I think I would say when we think about this Indistractable and distraction in general and Nir's sort of work, what the relationship with FOMO is, and FOBO as well, is to overcome FOMO and FOBO, you must be comfortable choosing one thing and then missing out on the rest. I choose one item. I have the chicken for lunch. I'm missing out on the vegetarian. I'm choosing this movie. I'm not watching that movie. When I have FOMO, I'm staying home and not going to all the 55 events. I'm missing out on those things, okay? And so you must accept the missing out. And when we are distracted, when we have all these stimuli coming at us, it makes it harder, right? Because it's sort of like, oh, I've made this decision, but now it's on Instagram, this party, and so really the combination of the two is in the Fear of Missing Out book, I talk about how do you miss out on the rest. A lot of it is eliminating distractions. So not having all of those notifications, not having all those external stimuli. And so there's a very close combination between the two of them. And Nir came on my podcast. He's been on it twice now. And we talked about this, you know, and it's funny because like he doesn't talk about mindfulness and meditation at all in the book, which is really interesting because that's such a hot topic these days. But I, you know, that's an area that I think, you know, I personally find very powerful. But all of the strategies that he has around focus can be used to miss out on the rest.
Yes. Because he has said a very, very nice quote, all human behavior is based on escaping from discomfort.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the fear, you know, the discomfort is mostly, you know, the fear of missing out. You know, if I want to,
You know, combine these two books together, Fear of Missing Out and Indistractable, I would say all human behavior is based on escaping from FOMO or FOBO.
I love it. That's an interesting, I never thought about that. Let me think about, I'll have to like deeply think about that. But I would say from, at least in the modern age, it is true that so much of, I just think about it every day now. It's like, when we have FOMO and FOBO, what's really happening is that we are not in charge. Yes. We are somebody is in charge of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're right. Like, and so when I feel these feelings, I ask myself, like, where is this feeling coming from? Why do I feel this? Who's in charge right now? Right. Because who wants to live enslaved, right? Mm-hmm. To all of these devices and external stimuli. Like, what's the point of that? Right. We all work so hard to try to be, you know, the best that we can be, and we should do that for ourselves and not be controlled by others.
Yes, that is the internal trigger. That's, you know, mostly we should focus on the internal trigger. And you said who is in charge. I could add to it who and what is in charge, and also yes, why is in charge. Because we spatially are bombarded with thousands of things, pictures, devices, and also thousands of things internally. The fear of, you know, missing out and better option has grown during past, you know, experience of our lives. It's not just at once, you know. Okay, I have fear of missing out. Okay, I cannot do something like this. I cannot act on it. For example, when I was going to finish my final thesis, and I didn't go through the whole package just due to the fact that I would miss out something special, or I would have some better options. And those were the strategies that I was escaping from the discomfort. It's really an escape from that fear that, oh, what if I have this? What if I have that? What if? So I have just one important thing, and that is the cancer of decision making. Because mostly people, of course, you delegate, you outsource. But what is the defined line that you are not somehow procrastinating on something and you are delegating something? How do you define these two things together? You know, sometimes I don't want to do something. I don't want to go ahead with anything and face some, you know, responsibilities and something like this. So I don't want to do it. Okay, you do it, no problem. And it's hard for me to, you know, to distinguish these two things, you know, procrastination and delegation. How do you do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've never been asked that question before. I love it. Let me think for that. For me, it's funny, I don't procrastinate by outsourcing. So that's like a behavior that I don't do, but I totally understand what you're talking about. And I think when you're feeling that feeling, the first question you have to ask yourself is, who is truly the best person to make that decision? And does this decision matter? Because if the decision does not matter, if it's something that you will not remember in a few days or a few weeks, it doesn't matter. You can procrastinate by outsourcing. Go ahead and do it. Like, live your best life. Have a great time. Because it doesn't matter. If it is an important decision, something that has an impact on your wealth, on your health, on your relationships, on your work, you know, something that could have medium to long term that is not reversible, then if you're outsourcing, you should not be, because you need to be involved in making that decision. You are the best person to make that decision. You cannot abdicate your responsibility. So that's how I generally think about it.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Fantastic. If you want to teach me something new, what do you do?
That's a great question too. Oh,
I'm sorry about it. You know, I'm a master of questions.
You know what I do? Actually, it's so funny you asked this question because I just did this the other day and I changed the way so my mom wants, she's like not very good at Google Maps. I don't know why, she just doesn't use it. And so I was leaving and she needed directions. And I said, well, why don't you use Google Maps? And traditionally what I would do is take her phone and put it in and say, this is how you do it here. I did not do that with her. I talked her through it and had her do it. Mm. And so I think that's one thing that I've learned to do is when I want to teach somebody something, I actually ask them to do it for me. Mm-hmm. So I can be there, but they're doing it themselves because then they, you know, and it's an obvious point, but many times we are impatient or we don't bother. So I like to do that. And then another thing I've been doing lately is when I tell somebody something that I think is important, I ask them to repeat back what I've just said to them to make sure that they know the way they have heard the information, received it and processed it is aligned with what I am trying to share with them.
Yes, that is the strategy offered by, I suppose, Jim Quick. Jim Quick is the master of these sorts of things. Okay, repeat it. I have passed thousands of classes with him. Patrick, what should we do with these two words? What if?
What should we do with those two words? I think we should with the sentence.
Yes. What if, you know, what if is really close to, you know, form one, FOMO, because it's linked to it. Okay. What if this could happen? What if that could happen? What if? And
right.
Our mind is blocked with these what if, and we are just sitting and watching Netflix.
Yes. So what if we, I think the what if is great when you finish the sentence. So say you're feeling stressed, and this happens all the time, right? You're sitting at home and you feel disquieted or you're uncomfortable. What if there's something better out there happening? What if, you know, what if the world blows up and we all die? What if Donald Trump becomes president for the next 1,000 years? You know, like all these things that are terrifying. I mean that. And so it's important for us to continue and say what we're worried about. I think the thing about FOMO and FOBO is that we forget that the first word of both of those is fear. Yeah. And when we name our fear, when we put it into words, we are in a better position to manage our fear. So I say, define it. I remember when I was little, I used to be afraid the house was going to burn down. Mm-hmm. I was terrified. I'd cry. And one day my dad said, well, why are you crying? Well, I'm afraid the house is going to burn down. Well, how would the house burn down? And I was like, well, what if a mouse pushed over the television? That was my fear. And once I said it, I realized how ridiculous it was. And I laughed and I was fine. I never was afraid again. Uh-huh. So I think it's important to give word to what we're afraid of.
Yes. Seneca has profoundly said, we suffer more in imagination than reality.
Right, Seneca copied me. That's the problem. He's such a thief.
yes, for sure he copied you. I'm not sure it is related to Seneca or Patrick, but it's nicely said. So it was really great. If you want to have some tips about time management, especially in the 2020 and 2021, what would you say?
Yeah. I would say recognize the fact that there is a temptation right now to work all the time. Mm-hmm. And therefore really be thoughtful about giving yourself downtime, whether that means scheduling it, you know, get off of email, get off of your computer for long stretches of time, mm-hmm. even days at a time, if you can do it, because right now we're not doing that. We're not having a normal disconnect between life, work life and personal life. And it's very damaging.
Yes. Can I ask a personal question?
Yes.
And what is your morning and night routines?
Aha. My morning routine, which is the same every day.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm sure. Because you have told it, it's the same. I would like, because mine is the same. And we have had the Tiny Habits program offered by BJ Fogg, the Stanford professor. in here, and something like 1,600 people have passed this, you know, period of it was a kind of marathon of tiny habits, and we focused on morning routine, daily routine, night routine, and sleep as a source of, you know, designing your daily life, because this daily life design can lead to a great perspective and great future. I would like to know yours, and then I will say mine.
Okay. I don't really have a night routine, so I just do whatever. I swear to God, like, I just kind of, every night's a little different for me. So
fantastic.
There, I don't have any routine.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna admit. On the morning routine, I wake up, I set my alarm with Alexa. So I don't have a phone in my room. I'm very anti-phone in the room. So no phones. Alexa wakes me up. I ask her what the weather is.
Sorry, I'm not sure about that.
Yes.
What's up? Hello there, she's here. I then get out of bed. I drink some water. I take a shower immediately. And get dressed. I make my bed, and then I go down the street two blocks and get a cup of coffee, and then I sit in the park for a few minutes, and then I come home and start working. I don't eat breakfast.
Every day,
literally every day. Maybe on a Saturday I'll stay out a bit longer and not come home and work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really, for me, the fundamental thing is like getting out of bed straight away and taking that shower. That's on the weekdays. On the weekend, maybe I won't take the shower, but a funny thing is that I like to get up and just get going. And then as a child, we only had one bedroom for my whole family, which, you know, I didn't think was a big deal, but all of my friends think I was like, I might as well have grown up, you know, in tremendous despair. Like it was this great oppression. But as a result, we took very quick showers. So I take like a very quick shower in the morning. I can go from my bed to my door in 15 minutes.
Fantastic. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I don't waste any time.
Yes, that's awesome. Mine is, you know, jumping out of the bed, you know, after the, you know, the waking call. And no cell phone, no cell. My cell phone is the, you know, it's something out of home sometimes, because it's the thing that I have learned from, you know, from Nereal, the design for laziness, and if it's as far as, you know, I can reach to it, it's much better. And I for sure I take shower, I meditate, and my meditation is mostly breath work, and yes. I go out and. For sure. That is great.
I do not meditate in the morning. I like to meditate in the afternoon.
Why?
Because I feel like it helps me. So my energy level goes like this. In the morning, I'm like, I'm not like you. I don't run out of bed. Okay. I'm like, and then I go. Uh-huh. And so meditation helps me get back down again for the rest of the day.
Yes.
I need to get off of this crazy level, and that's what that does for me.
The thing that I jump out of bed is due to the fact that I calculated it, because mostly people wake up and spend something like half an hour in bed, okay? And I calculated this time, just half an hour in bed. You're doing nothing. Mostly, if you have your cell phone beside your bed, you will check Instagram, email, and whatever, Facebook, and it's half an hour. If from the age of 20 to age of 70, it's something like 50 years. You do the same thing. It could be something like 2.5 years of your life.
Oh my God. You're right. That's a really good way to look at it.
Yes, we can calculate it right now. Okay. Just half an hour. Okay. Half an hour, it's something like 30 minutes. 30 minutes each day. 365 each year, it could be something like 10,950 hour.
Wow.
And multiply 50 years, it could be something like 547,500. If we do the same thing of 24 hour, it could be something like 2.5 years.
Wow.
And with this two and a half
that.
year, and it, with this 2.5 year, you can master in anything you want. How long does it take if you wanted to, if you want to write a new book?
Well, I'm pretty quick. So I wrote my book in like 45 days.
Wow, 45 days. With that 2.5 year, one like you can
I could write like 30 like... books.
Yes.
That'd be amazing. Maybe that's what I need to do.
No, you are the master, you know. Okay, just the last word. It was really great talking to you. You know, I have talked to many writers, and but yours was really, you know, amazing and energetic for me. I'm not saying previous ones was not energetic, but yours has
I think you are, though. Who was better, me or Seneca? That's what I want to know.
For sure, you. Seneca, okay. Forget Seneca. Forget Seneca.
Yeah, Seneca's so old-fashioned.
It's not old-fashioned. You know, I can say I cannot understand a word by him. You know, it's really hard. It's, wow, okay, just wait. I should go to Google Translate. Even Google Translate cannot do anything with Seneca. But with yours, funny. I can go ahead with that. Okay, so you are good.
Oh, my God. You're hilarious.
So, the last word. What is your suggestion? Your, you know, greatest suggestion in one or two or three, whatever you want, sentences. To me, right to the point. Go ahead.
I would say, first, I would just say, life is about choices. Mm-hmm. Most of the choices we don't even make ourselves. They're made for us. Or people convince us of things that we don't even question. And so just think about when you're making decisions, why you're making them. Mm-hmm. What are the reasons you're doing things? And then make sure that you're happy with those reasons.
Fantastic. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Patrick, my dear, for your time. Hope I can join you to future podcast that I'm going ahead with that in near future. Really thank you. I really appreciate that for your time. I know your time is really precious. And thanks for everything. Thank you, my dear.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Have fun and bye-bye.